Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tape Legralian.
I feel like you could have made better choices in co-host.
That's really setting it up for a positive show. It's feeling good. The intro's going well. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man, James Tape Legralian, and I talk about the All-Star Game, the Stadium Series in Colorado Springs, difficulties on the power play, and hashtag hijinks. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 124 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around, the AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tape Legralian.
I am.
And I'm Jay Veen.
You are.
And this is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
This is.
That was so easy.
Oh, man.
It totally is. It's your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Nearly everything.
Almost.
Coming darn close.
So close.
So close.
We couldn't possibly cover everything.
Nope.
But almost everything.
Where you get there.
We can cover 100% of almost everything. Boom.
Jay.
How's it going?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. What episode are we on?
This is episode number 124 of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
124.
Your home for almost everything Avalanche. I have not clicked on the link. Can I name some 24s? I promise this is off the top of my head.
I don't know. Can you?
Yep. That was a rhetorical question. You ready? All right, here we go. John Clem. Chris McAllister. Marc-Andre Cliche. Antti Laaksonen. Did AJ Greer wear 24?
Or is AJ Greer?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think I'm out. Who did I miss? I miss anybody really good?
Chris Gratton.
Okay. Chris Gratton. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Did you say Laaksonen?
I said Laaksonen.
Oh. Yeah, there's a big one, actually. That
you Pioneer together. Oh, people are yelling at their mobile devices right now.
Yes, they are.
They're like, Jay, you idiot.
We want to talk to the manager about this one.
Yep.
Ruslan Soleil.
Oh, that's right.
Rusty.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Good call. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? I didn't miss anybody super obvious. Not that Soleil's not obvious.
No. Thomas Vinecour.
Yeah.
Or Vinecroix. I don't know.
I think it's Vinsour.
Vinny Bag of Donuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That guy was good. Is that French Canadian?
Oh, yeah. No, that would be beignets if they were French Canadian.
Or Vinny Bag of Croissants. Uh-huh. We're funny.
Bring Le Thunder.
That sounds so much more sophisticated.
Since we've done this show, I think between shows, you went on another podcast.
I did.
And I just want to call you a heinous traitor right now.
That's fine.
Not that you did that to me when I went on to somebody else's podcast.
I would ever do this. I definitely cleared it through James. I got to clear it through the people.
Uh-huh.
And the we're going
to
bring.
You just happened to set it up while I was out of town. But no. You do what you got to do, brother.
Hey, Steve, Steve, can we do this? And hey, Steve. But yeah, from the Cheap Seats, Nine News' podcast had me on.
I listened. I thought you did an excellent job.
I appreciate you. Had a good time with them. They're good people, Steve and Jeff.
You know what? I appreciate you. Nobody appreciates anybody.
They really don't, but we appreciate each other.
Okay. I'll let you get away with it.
Doesn't it feel weird when somebody says something positive anymore?
Man.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Had a great time on their show. He wanted to talk about Avs Twitter psychic, and 2 weeks later, we had to talk about it again.
Which we're going to talk about.
We will talk about that because we talk about almost everything Avalanche.
I think that's probably like if people have never tuned into this show before and they play. Well, if people have never tuned into this show before and play Avs Twitter psychic, I'm a little surprised.
Okay.
But if this is like somebody's first time tuning into this show. Mm. And they're like, okay, we're ready. Bring the thunder, bring the devastation.
You're going to be waiting for a while.
Well, it's going to be a minute because we want to talk about some good things first.
We definitely do. We like good things. All-Star Game. Did you watch the All-Star Game?
I didn't watch much of the All-Star Game.
I watched a little of it too.
Here's the thing with the All-Star Game. Unless I haven't really watched one since I even had to catch up on the one where John Scott was the MVP.
It's a good story.
It's a great story. It's that story that, you know, it's a, as we have experienced personally recently, the fan driven experience, as opposed to the approved NHL team driven, you like it the way that we want you to experience.
You will like it.
Our can often be in conflict, shall we say.
Just a little bit, but yeah, it's refreshing.
Right. That's so I haven't watched so many, All-Star games because generally, like if there's not a lot of real competition, there's not a lot of speed and yeah, you know, we're talking about like, you know, play, we're in a game where people aren't looking to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Like here's the best players out there and they're all bringing 50% because there's no way that they want to get injured and go back to their team with an injury from an All-Star game and you don't want to be the guy that injured somebody else in an All-Star game.
They're not even bringing the Thunder.
No. And, nope. And you know,
yeah, I hear you. I just watched a little bit.
Like we're watching a bunch of guys who make a ton of money all compete for more money. You know, like they're like, oh, the team that wins gets $1 million. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, okay, great. Why is that important to me?
Yeah. And these are the guys, these aren't the guys that aren't making a million. These are the guys that are making the millions already.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're going to split another $1 million.
I've always find that ironic somebody, too. Here's a car.
He's going to get a car.
Yeah. Here's a car. You need this.
Yeah.
No, that's a commercial.
You know, we're good. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, the whole thing is a commercial. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Like, much like the outdoor games are a TV, driven business. Of course, you want to have a game with 54,000 people at it.
Sure,
that's a lot of tickets sold. But it's all about the ratings, and it's all about promoting the game.
Yep,
we get that.
Well, how do you think we're recording this after last night's Stadium Series game? What did you think about that then? Was it about on par? Was it, I think the military aspect brings a little bit more of a, I guess less commercial, but it's all commercial.
Yeah.
Everything's commercial.
There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I think that it was good for some aspects and at the same time, it felt like a really small, like you've got like this big thing with the Air Force, but the whole look and feel of it felt small.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what they were going for. Like we finally, I don't know what the seating capacity for, I think you were saying 54,000.
I believe it's 50, a little over 54,000 if I got my facts straight.
I don't know what the Rose Bowl is. That felt bigger.
Yeah, it's way bigger. Yeah.
And this just felt kind of minuscule. It also felt slow, which is one of the problems it's a problem for fans of the game who are already fans, but it's not so bad for the people who are like just tuning in for the spectacle and the promotion of it. Cause you can follow the game.
Yeah. That was one thing I noticed about last night. The circumstances and everything are pretty, you know, they are what they are and it's cool to be there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very good hockey game. Mm-mm. And I'm not saying that just because our team lost in the last minute, again, in a Stadium Series game, it wasn't that good of a hockey game. It wasn't showcasing what the game's all about. And I don't know. I don't think you can really blame anybody for that. But yeah, it just felt kind of meh.
Oh, All-Star game.
Yeah.
Puck tracking is back or was back for that.
And player tracking too.
I don't care one iota. The hockey fans know that you don't have to see the puck. Like I watch it. I watch the game because we're still in this Comcast blackout altitude thing, which is just stunning to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to watch the game on televisions that aren't HDTV and you can't see the puck.
So what do you watch?
The players always. And you still know where everything is. Like,
of course.
Why? And that's the thing. Like if you're new to the game, you're always watching the puck. But once you start to learn the game, you're watching the players more than you're watching the puck.
Indeed.
Now, right. So puck tracking is great for like the newbie if they enjoy that, if it's aesthetically pleasing to them. But for the rest of us, oh my God, it's terrible.
Just in the way. Yeah.
I think they're experimenting with what has the least impact. Like they're not doing the yellow thing anymore. They're not, you know, but even that gray line was obnoxious.
I actually, as you talk about it, I get a lot more satisfaction, I guess, watching the players and knowing that I know where the puck is based on how people are reacting to it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I don't know where the puck is based on how the players are reacting to it. Right. There was a play, it was a game I was watching the other night, hit the crossbar, went straight up in the air. Nobody had any idea where the puck was. Mm-hmm. And even that's kind of a cool thing. Different. And puck tracking wouldn't help with that. So I think
imagine that, like a red line, straight up.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's never going to come down, but yeah, I think that that's part of the fun of watching the game is maybe not knowing where the puck is, but based on how people are reacting, I know where the puck is.
So we can track the puck, for showing it on the screen, but we can't track it to see if it actually completely crossed the goal line. Okay. Thanks for your help.
Sounds good. You need to have visual evidence.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy. We're going down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
So yeah, last night Avs lose in the last minute again. The last stadium series in 2016, they gave up a goal in the last minute and lost. It just two like fluky goals. The puck hits off a couple players off the post and goes, and then, you know, Toffoli gets the rebound. That's their first goal. And the second goal, Francois didn't even have a shot at it because as large as Sam Girard is, he was plenty enough of a screen. He never even saw the puck. So it's just one of those games. And they came out firing. They had 13 shots in the first like 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. And then just kind of flattened out. I don't know. It was just one of those.
On a Jonathan Quick mistake, basically.
Yeah, he was going after his stick.
Went after his stick as he lost it.
Yeah.
And it was good timing. And it's not like Sam Girard actually he's reaching for a stick, I'm going to shoot it now, because he was turning as he shot.
Just threw it at the net.
It just happened to happen at the same time.
It just wasn't a very good hockey game. And I've heard some of the difficulties as far as traffic as well, as far as
people. Not surprising.
People, man, there was the people sitting in traffic to go a couple miles. They sat for 3 hours. There were still people, I think, coming into the stadium with, you know, just to watch the third period.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And then that's how long they were sitting in traffic. People had left. I know one guy, he actually left the restaurant he was at. I was talking to him, left the restaurant he was at 4 o'clock and got there in time for the third period.
Wow.
And it's an hour drive from here down there. It's not, you know,
right.
Straight traffic. And then after the game,
traffic on I-25 that going out there on a good day is kind of crap.
Yeah. Then it took people hour and a half, 2 hours, even the media who leaves afterwards because they have jobs to do. They sat in traffic for 2 hours to get back out on the highway to drive back up. So I don't know, kind of a logistical thing, but I think overall,
when you have to file your report from your Volkswagen Golf, that's just
trouble.
Sucks.
That's big trouble. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. I guess we don't need our team to win to have a good time watching and appreciate the game. And I think they did a lot of good things, but it was also just kind of a disappointing hockey game overall. Yeah.
Is it just me, or do outdoor games feel slow?
There's something. Is it camera angles? I don't know what it is, but they do. They feel slow. The weather? Is it? But they played them outside when it's warm. Didn't make any difference.
No. It's in the heated benches. You know, I wonder how that is, like going from the heated bench to freezing temperature outside and then sweating while you play and then getting back on that heated bench and then going back out. I wonder how that does for, you know, I hope you got your flu shot.
Yeah. there just wasn't a whole lot of flow last night to the game. And it wasn't the best example for people who don't watch hockey normally to be like, oh, I want to watch that again. And I don't blame them if they feel that way.
And everybody talks about the altitude, like it's a huge advantage. You know,
yeah, that was every question to a king, to the Kings and the Avalanche. And that was something that they were talking about.
How do you feel about the altitude up here?
It is what it is. What am I going to do? Change it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to huff and puff a little more than I had before. Okay.
Yeah. Just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was what it was.
Yeah. I didn't go. And I thought about going before, and then it was kind of, then, you know, just, And I was so disappointed in my last seats with the altitude. Or
you
with
guys
the,
were sitting down low.
Yeah, we were sitting down low at Coors Field. And it was a very flat plane. Yeah. And, we're thinking, oh, okay, we're going to be kind of close to the action. That'll be fun. Nope. No. You know, and then I visited you in your seats and I was like, wow, you can see everything. You're right on top of everything.
Better.
What a fool I was. So, you know, with the dice rolling, I was like, no.
What'd you think of the jerseys?
So far, every jersey that I haven't liked looks better on the players. You know, like even the blueberries look better on the players than they do on just like the rack or on a
did you see the leaked
a normal human being,
the leaked photos with the guy wearing the breezers with no pads in him, and he's just like with no pads underneath too, and that's what got leaked. I mean, it was the original picture of the jerseys. People were like, is that the jersey? But it was also a horrible example of what they might look like on the players, because it's just this regular old dude with pants that look like they got the air let out of them and no pads underneath the jersey.
Yeah. But even that said, I didn't like them.
Yeah. They looked better, but
whatever
that means, it's all relative.
Who I think should design hockey jerseys are the people who design all, who like from the 70s and 80s that did all the designs for like ski resorts.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that aesthetic of like the older mountain ski resort stuff that I really love. Keystone, A Basin,
Vail.
Breckenridge, Vail, all these places that had these cool, not Eldora.
Okay. I wasn't going to say that. I knew you didn't want to hear that. I could tell in your eyes.
Don't you even. but those places, those things look cool. I mean, they've got this whole feel to them of the mountain architecture, the mountain design, and they're simple. They're generally pretty simple.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There was just something about this one that made me say, I would not wear that.
There's something with the Stadium Series, although the Avalanches were a little bit different. I don't know. It just seems like at times I think of the Sharks when they played their game outside. I think that was against the Kings as well. Mm-hmm. But they try and push the envelope just a little bit, try and make it a little more futuristic, for lack of a better term. And yeah, sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't do very well.
I don't need the metallic.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the first Stadium Series one that the Avs had, I liked it.
It was cool.
I thought it was pretty cool. But this one just kind of didn't.
There's a lot going on. And
give me back the burgundy thirds.
Yeah.
I love the burgundy thirds.
I know. I go back to like the 2004 All-Star jerseys with the Eastern and the Western diagonally. There's something.
Yeah, were cool.
There's something about those, and you just don't meet anybody that doesn't like those. But I think the league
felt throwback without being like so retro that you're just like, come on, this is cheap.
I guess the term would be like classic.
They did feel classic
feel to them, but I think that the league tries very intentionally to not do that and try to push it a little bit. And it's just like the classic is what sometimes makes the league so good. When you got the Bruins and the Red Wings and the Blackhawks and those logos that really don't change that much over time, and they don't need to, because they're just strong
that way. Iconic.
So So I mean, I don't know, and they did look better on the ice than they did with all the other stuff and all put together. I totally agree with you, but I don't know if that was saying much either.
Speaking of the Sharks, you heard about Erik Karlsson.
I did.
Out for the season, broken thumb.
I did. I mean, when they acquired him, he was supposed to be, you know what? You know who else we talked about in the last show that something's happened to is Bruce Boudreaux.
Oh yeah.
When we talk about people in our show, things happen. Karma, I don't know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So although we talked about Tyson Jost and he hasn't done much since our last show.
Maybe
that's saying something.
Exactly.
Something happens or nothing happens.
Yeah. Or he continues the bad side.
Okay. All right.
Boos is gone.
Yeah.
Poor Boos.
Yeah. No, he didn't look too happy the last game the Avs played against him.
But the thing was, what was the, let me go back to the standings here, because if I read correctly,
struggle's real.
Well, the struggle was actually semi made up because, in their last 10 before they fired him, they were 6-3-1. They were 6-3-1 and fired him.
And they got shut out last night.
6-3-1.
The leashes
fired the guy who basically is like, it's not his fault that they have an aging roster.
They traded away
a lot of the things that have happened. The big contracts.
They traded away Zucker too. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, and what was it? The Bill Guerin, the GM said, there'll be more trades if we see people quit. And what was the score last night?
2-0. I think it was 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah. You guys quit. Nice job.
Bye, Boost. The thing, who was it? Was it Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun?
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think it was him. Said that if he were Ron Francis, if he was Ronnie Franchise, he would hire Boost right away. And because it'd be a kind of a friendly, fun way to start off and be your first coach.
Mm.
But this is the weirdness. Boost is gone. Gerard Gallant is gone, and they were like on the cusp of the playoffs, and they were like, not good enough. Bye.
I know, it's getting weird.
Yeah.
Getting really weird.
Yeah. I don't, I don't know, man. Like the loss last night meant for the Avs meant that Dallas has overtaken them in the standings. Bye, that, Bednar.
What
are we talking about here?
Although there's people that'll bring that up. Don't talk to me about it. Yeah, they dropped two. They could have been first in the Central and Western Conference, but since they lost, they're now in like third place in the division. Is that right? Behind who? Dallas and who?
St. Louis. Two points that way from St. Louis, which is stunning because St. Louis was way ahead.
Yeah, the Avalanche with that week.
In their last 10, St. Louis, 2-6-2.
Yeah. And plus the Jay Bomeister thing. That was
weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's okay.
I'm guessing he's done. I mean, maybe not, but
I don't know.
Considering like what happened with Steve Konowalczyk.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't a heart attack or anything like that, but it was like, it was a heart thing.
Yes,
and
it was.
It forced him into retirement. And if this doesn't, Bomeister's been around, it seems like forever.
I think 17 years or something like that. Like really? He's had a good career.
Yeah. He finally won his cup.
Yeah. And I don't know any reason why he would risk going back out there, but you never know these guys either. Like they're in unbelievable shape, even though, you know, he had a cardiac episode is what they called it, but that's scary stuff.
Yeah.
And that makes you, to watch those guys, Darren Pang was doing something after they canceled the game and he was just explaining kind of what was going on. And he's like, these guys are the toughest guys, you know, toughest athletes in the world. And to watch them kind of fold up like they do, you know, it's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
And it happens every once in a while.
It also makes you wonder, like pushing the limits of people's bodies and these things. Like if back in the day, you know, I mean, the guys would take a few months off of the year, before coming back to get back in shape to get into training camp, you know? And that was like when they were still smoking and drinking and things like that.
Yeah.
Now it's workout all the time. What is the limit? What is the limit of the person's body that they can handle?
I think about that with ACLs when it comes to especially like football.
Oh yeah.
That wasn't a thing when I was growing up. Nobody tore their ACL ever. And now that happens all the time.
Do they know about the ACL as much as they do now?
I imagine guys would
kind of like concussions, I would think.
A little bit of both. But I imagine if you know, guys were tearing them, they wouldn't be able to do a whole lot of the things that they would be able to do. And they knew something was wrong. I don't remember that being a thing when I was a kid, but we're old.
Well, it was the old, it was also the toughness attitude of rub sand in it and get back out there.
Yeah.
Not saying that that's better. I was just
who cares if you have an ACL.
What would happen.
Yeah.
There's
kids in China who don't have ACLs. Well, get back out there.
Think about the poor Armenians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I always do.
Without their ACLs.
I know.
Thank you.
What else? Okay. I got a good and a bad here. Want to do a good and a bad?
Sure. So
it's like a medium.
Let's do this.
The good, the Avalanche power play. When we're watching Cale Makar on the blue line, he's walking the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Nathan MacKinnon on one side ready for a one-timer, and he's got Mikko Rantanen on the other side ready for a one-timer. You think that's going to work most of the time. Now, since the All-Star break, the Avs have been a lot better. I think they're like eighth or ninth in the league when it comes to the power play since then.
Mm-hmm.
But man, how are they in the lower half? They're like 21st in the league in power play. How can you solve that?
In general?
Can you be the power play CEO right now or the GM for the power play? Is there anything that I'm not seeing? I don't know. I don't want to be too frustrated by like, you know, the eighth or ninth ranked power play since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like at times, like I don't expect them obviously to score every time. What's happening?
I think
with that much talent, why isn't it better?
I have an opinion.
Yes.
You want my opinion?
I just asked you for it.
Oh, my opinion.
In my opinion,
uh-huh. In my less than humble opinion.
Sorry, I just kind of dropped this on you, but this is good.
Well, we've talked about it some before.
We have.
And my opinion kind of stays the same on it. The Avalanche are very poor at handling the pressure on the power play.
We talked about this last show, by the way.
Right. If there's something like, here's the thing with what separates the big time hockey players from the rest. There's a lot of things, but one of the things that I started to figure out finally after watching for a couple of years was how ready everybody is for a pass all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's in their skates or, you know, but you know, you almost never see somebody not ready, miss a pass because they're not ready for a pass to come to them.
Agreed.
Just always expect that the puck is going to come to you. And that's kind of the thing with the Avs power play is that they don't get it and give it really fast. And what that means is that you've got, if I come out to challenge you, chances are you're going to be futzing with it, yep. or I'm going to put more pressure on you than you can handle.
That's all I do is futz with the puck.
Right. Just, yep. and that's a lot with the, you know, if there's a lot of pressure on the penalty kill against you, mm-hmm. Then you have to make faster decisions on your passes.
They haven't handled that very well.
They haven't handled that very well. And it seems like it's a 3-man power play. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's Cale Makar, your quarterback, your left wing, your right wing. Your center is buried, center. I mean, we're
slingshotting.
Right. Well, no, I mean, like once you're in the zone and you're set up, you've got your left wing, you know, your right wing, mm-hmm. and your quarterback guy. And there's a guy who, and for some reason, they just keep burying a guy right next to the net, mm-hmm. down low, which you can't pass directly to him without going through a lot of traffic.
Right.
And then you've got your screen in the front. Yeah. So I feel like they need to move the guy out from the side of the net, okay. basically that Gabriel Landeskog plays. Mm-hmm. Move him out a bit and give yourself a fourth option or a third option for a pass.
For a pass or a shot.
Right. Yeah. And keep your screen guy in front.
Okay.
You know, keep that big butt right there. The Rantanen and MacKinnon and Makar are basically going to be taking your shots because you can't get it quickly to the other guy.
Yeah.
And we've seen it before where like somebody will move in for, you know, for the quick cross ice pass and it works. Mm-hmm. There it's, it, I just feel like A, they aren't handling the pressure very well. And B, they're playing to something that they need to adapt with.
Yeah.
If you're not getting traction out of the guy that's down low, move him out. And if it doesn't, you know, and then if you're unhappy with that, move him back. But I feel like they're stuck in a pattern. Yeah. That isn't being effective.
No, I agree. I did just with all the talent, and I'm not saying that just because this is our favorite NHL team. I'm saying that because these are, especially those three, mm-hmm. those are three of your top offensive players relatively in the league. Those mm-hmm. all three of those guys are top 25 in the league. I'm just wondering why there's not as many chances as there are. Now when it works, it's great, but yeah. And then slingshot is also a factor with this. Sometimes it works out pretty well and sometimes it doesn't. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just looking for a small adjustment to help them get some more chances, not necessarily goals, but just more chances. Right. And man, you watch the Capitals. Were you able to watch any of the Capitals game?
I wasn't.
What they do is they take somebody on the weak side on the far side and they plant them kind of where Landy is. You've seen them try and hit Landy's stick and he redirects it in. Mm-hmm. But what they do, and the Canucks have done this for years too, is they put somebody kind of on the weak side on the far post. And they try and do that same thing. But what it does is just spreads everybody out a little bit more. And they have chance after chance after chance. Mm-hmm. Like literally during that game, the Avs had a hard time kind of adjusting to the Caps pressure and everything like that. You could see why the Caps are where they are. But man, they missed probably, mm-hmm. as I watched, probably 5 or 6 tip-ins that way. Just because they can spread everybody out and really, really get, you know, like you were saying, position-wise, stick-wise, and in passing lanes and things like that. They were creating chances all over the place because they can spread everybody out with puck movement.
Right.
And then just try and hit that guy's stick. It was fabulous. And it was really good to watch. And it's between that and Ovechkin's one timer, you can see why they're so successful.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit.
I mean, MacKinnon's got a great one timer, but mm-hmm. he's worked hard on it. About Ovechkin's just,
yeah,
it's either super accurate and you're not 100%, you know, what he can shoot for, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, how does this guy get that thing off so fast?
Just goes through people, you know?
That's amazing. One of the things that you said also last game, mm-hmm. or last podcast was, and I was thinking about this the other day when I was going to get ribs.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm just like, ribs.
I want ribs.
Oh, Jay's coming. All right, you know.
We'll figure out the tie between those two sometime. We don't need to explain everything.
We don't have tie bow on this. It's okay.
You guys figure it out yourselves.
One of the things you said was about how the Avs were only going to beat you by scoring more pucks and speed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought about it and I still think it's ridiculous that we're concerned about scoring more.
I know that's fair.
About winning in another way than scoring more.
Keep going.
but I was thinking more about what you were saying about like the speed and that there's only, that they only have that one tool in their box. You know, I'm starting to wonder. Like even Kadri doesn't seem, and he's injured right now, but he doesn't seem as hard to play against as he did in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of some of what you were speaking to was that there's this, the, it's one of the things that the Avs have kind of always had. They haven't been as hard to play against. Like, they don't, if you want that puck, you got to get through me.
Yeah.
Or if you want that puck, you're going to, if you got that puck, you're going to pay for having that.
I go back to the Capitals on this one. Mm. Man, they're hard to play against.
Well, see, and I don't want more, you know, right, more jerks like Tom Wilson.
Right.
You know,
but you want a little more of that.
I want a little more of the
hard to play against.
Yeah. I mean, like,
not skill wise,
not, I'm, you know, I mean, I like the speed. Look at how many times the Avs are getting around.
Oh yeah.
Defensemen.
That's fun to watch.
It's a lot of fun to watch, mm-hmm, but go in the corners, you mm-hmm know, if they're not taking, I'm not saying like a headshot or something like that, mm-hmm, but if they're not taking liberties, then it's not, then they're not as hard to play against.
Yeah.
It can be tough to dig a puck out of the corner with them, but you're not going to feel it afterwards.
Nope.
You're not going to feel, you know, like, boy, maybe I'll give that guy a little bit more space because he's tough. They give him space because of the speed, and they're worried about being gotten around. So
that's why I'm talking about that yeah, as far as like, are they tough to play against?
Well, who's the tough guy these days? You know,
well, Confer? The thing is, yeah, Confer has that edge on him, and he'll digger, and he doesn't mind grabbing someone's face in a scrum. Same with Calvert, mm-hmm, but they can't take everybody on. And I think once Nikita Zadorov broke his jaw, that his whole factor changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but there is some accountability. The Wild started doing it the other night when they were playing them. There's no one to really hold them accountable. Mm. Besides Calvert, who's kind of a middleweight. Not that I'm criticizing him either. We love Matt Calvert.
No,
but as a whole, as part of your identity, like you were saying, being tough to play against.
Besides your skill, like, how do you say, we're tough to play against, but we're not cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you,
the teams who do it well are awesome. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. But
Blues are kind of that way.
Yeah, yes, they are.
I can't think of a player on the Blues.
Yep.
That is that cheap guy that you're just like, come on,
but they're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough to play against.
They are tough to play against.
Yep. No, I totally agree. But then it just makes me think of the roster and, you know, you've got guys that we've already talked about, but between Belmar, between Jost, between Matt Nieto, I'm not mm-hmm trying to be critical of them, but that's not their game.
No.
Their game is not necessarily speed, although Nieto's, you know, the faster one and things like that. But yeah, I
would think that Jost would be the guy that I would want for speed. But,
yeah,
you know, it's almost like your defensive pairings.
Yeah.
Like, who do you put, what traits do you put with what
and why?
Yeah. And we're just not seeing
that
grit in a way, you know, they're tough to skate against, but they're not necessarily tough to play against.
I think that's, you've articulated it better than I could.
No, I think you're,
and I don't think we're trying to be, I think
when you say, you know, the only way that they beat you is by scoring more goals. Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it.
if you guys could have seen the face there, I'm sure you could imagine what the face he made, but you totally nailed it. But I needed to clarify it.
Nailed it.
There was nothing more that needed to be said, I just needed to say more about it.
Thank you for coming to that epiphany for me. more goals than the other.
Wow. Oh, this guy's an expert. I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I do know when a team scores more than the other team, they're going to win. Mm. Man, that's good.
You should tell that to the Detroit Red Wings.
Ooh. How are the standings looking?
They are number zero with a bullet.
They had 10 wins last time we did a show.
They are up to 14 wins.
Wow, good for them.
They have 32 points.
They're on a roll.
None of that matters as much as their goal differential.
Minus a lot.
The second worst goal differential is minus 45.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Ottawa Senators.
Mm-hmm.
The worst goal differential, minus 102.
Man.
They are...
You have a little twinkle in your eye when you say that.
They are... Over 50, they are negative 50 more.
Oh, man. Or less, however.
I don't know how to even say that.
I don't have words for how crappy that is.
They're 50 goals worse in goal differential than any other team.
Yeah, it's hard to complain.
Happy days are here again.
James likes the Red Wings.
I like to watch them lose. Top goal differentials right now, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Man, they're on a roll.
Boston Bruins. And your Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, we don't want to act like things are horrible right now, because they're not. But they're just things we notice. That's why we have a podcast.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so the Avs are 7-3-0. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they feel like they're 5-5.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
But I think it's because they feel like they're letting things slip through.
And last night was a good example of that.
Last night was a good example of that because the thing is, like with Frank Kuz, he came off the bench
after an intermission too. That was a good hit by Ian Cole, by the way.
Oh yeah,
he got his money's worth. Yeah. Actually, they're saying it's lower body though. I think.
Hip check.
I think it was one of his knees that kind of buckled and because he got hit in the head, he got twisted a certain way. So they're saying lower body when it could have easily been a concussion too. Either one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he came in cold.
Ian Cole.
Good hit.
Yeah. Settle down on the ice cream, buddy. It's going right to the tuchus.
Good hit though.
No, the problem being that, you know, everybody's trying to block shots so much that they basically screen their own goaltender.
Exactly. Gerard was trying to move out of the way on that shot too.
Sure.
He was. Sorry. He moved
right through.
Sorry.
He moved right through.
I'm going across. Yeah.
I gotta get over there.
I don't know, man. Yeah.
But the, you know, so it's hard to blame the goaltender on that one.
Oh no. I'm not blaming the goaltender on either. Yeah. I think both of them made saves that kept the Avalanche in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Jonathan Quick played really well. Like the old classic Jonathan Quick. Mm-hmm.
But it's so it is kind of disappointing to watch them to watch those things happen and just be like, oh my god, you let this one slip by too.
Yeah. That was a big 2 points.
Yeah.
And I know they keep trying to go back to it. How do you stay focused? Well, it's 2 points. And then they keep asking, what about the altitude? It's 2 points. What about it's 2 points? Yeah. It's outside. It's still 2 points.
What are they supposed to say? What are the factors in this game? You know what? That fighter plane that's sitting over there is really distracting me. Can we move that?
There's a light.
Better things to do.
There's
here.
A light that
I got a game to play.
It's all twinkly on it. I don't know. So what else did anything?
Like we completely have just devastated our show document. We didn't really do a lot.
No. We've actually tied out a lot of this in already. We've been Ryan Graves is still first in the league in plus minus, and Ian Cole's top five in the league in plus minus. You explain it to me. Whatever. Ian Cole has played better. Except for taking out his own goaltender last night. I mean, he's way better than he was at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. I think he just got healthier and, you know, he's solid. He's solid enough, but yeah, again,
yeah,
we're looking for that little more of an edge, whatever that would look like for this team. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that. But, all right. Anything happened on Twitter that was interesting since our last show?
Oh my God. Twitter, Avs Twitter psychic blew up explodo.
It was crazy.
Oh my goodness. You want me to do this or you gonna do this? You're still so conflicted.
I'm not conflicted. I'm glad things have calmed down a lot, but mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, just play by play. Just
all right. So Jay texts me one morning, one day and says, "What's up with this?" And sends me the Avalanches, Colorado Avalanches tweet, their pick for Avs Tour Psychic. Cause they've been playing for a couple of years now. And it says Avs Twitter Psychic, and then right below that says powered by FanDuel, which is a online
sports gambling
site and has lots of sponsorships across the league. And the thing is that Avs Twitter Psychic is not run by the Avalanche. It's been run by Jay for 6 years now.
This is the seventh year.
We are into our seventh year, which
six
means
and a half.
6 years.
Yeah.
Plus a bit.
Six plus seasons. Yeah.
So basically the long and the short of it is that the Avalanche got a sponsor for a hashtag that they don't have, or maybe they were sponsoring their own pick or something like that, but they were as clear as mud on that. So,
that got ugly.
It got ugly. Fans were pissed. And this kind of, and we were talking, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that there is an NHL managed fan experience. And then there's the fans themselves and their experience.
Yep.
And you best stay within your lane, and according to them. So the fans get on the Avs about it. And there is tweet mayhem. Everybody is pissed off.
It's crazy.
They're tweeting at the Avalanche. Hey, what is this about? What's going on with this? What's up with this? And the Avs aren't responding.
Not at all. And that's not like the Avs. They were obviously either they made a concerted effort to not say anything,
and
whether it was legally or not.
And I want to be perfectly clear about this. When we say the Avs, we obviously mean the social media team and the marketing people.
Right.
None of them people are responding. It's not about the players, obviously. It's not about the coach. It's probably about the GM or maybe the assistant GM. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. We all know this.
Most likely.
So, you know, and frankly, you know, I get a little tired of the social media faux pas that explodes into a thing. But this is sponsoring somebody else's
different.
Work.
This is really interesting. Yeah.
I think it said a lot about the fan generated experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the Avalanche were happy to push it to the side.
Obviously.
Because they never responded about anything. And then the next time Avs Twitter Psyche came around, it was not powered by anybody.
And ever since, I think for the last, I think six games or whatever, mm-hmm. they just, I'm not saying they acted like it never happened, but things just went back to how they used to be. But the fans spoke, mm-hmm. and I don't think they had any choice but to listen.
And I would say probably 97% of the responses were, Avs, what the hell are you doing? Jay, we support you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. There were a few that weren't, and I thought, as there always will be.
Always.
I thought a few of those were hilarious. Mm-hmm. I decided that I was going to get a sponsorship for the hashtag LGRW, the Let's Go Red Wings one, and get a sponsorship by a plumber, possibly Roto-Rooter. I'm still working on that.
I'm still waiting on the paperwork to show up on that one.
So here's the interesting thing. So first off, a lot of people were like, well, you can't copyright or trademark a tweet, which it turns out is not quite true.
Right.
You can, but it needs to be associated with something else. So if we made Let's Go or Avs Twitter Psychic t-shirts, mm-hmm. We that's could possibly, you know, trademark or something like that.
But we can also trademark it or copyright it to keep people from doing exactly what the Avs did with it.
Right.
And we never got the story from them as far as exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think obviously they thought any more of it than we're just going to sponsor a tweet that we send out every game. We have a sponsor that wants to pay us for it. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do it with this. No big deal. I don't think they wanted to take over the game or whatever, right. But yeah.
But my guess is that FanDuel doesn't care about a tweet or apps, Twitter, site, or anything. It's probably just part of a package.
Right.
And then they associate everything that they can with those things.
That's what I assumed as well. Yeah. So we're going to pay you this amount of money.
You're going to blanket.
You decide where you want a certain amount of tweets or whatever. Right. But when it came to using the hashtag that we have all grown for a long, long time, mm-hmm. wasn't cool.
Hey, you know who else didn't respond? FanDuel.
No, they didn't. A lot of people called them out too and said, hey, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah. Right.
Because it was their money too. I don't know.
It's possible that, you know, I don't know what happened behind the scenes.
No, I imagine there was a conversation or two happened.
I'm assuming there were a few conversations.
Either before or during or after.
Yeah. We did see a few. Yeah, I don't see what the big deal is. I saw one, hockey players are soft or hockey fans are soft about this, blah, blah, blah. And it was just
that's not really the point.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know, have a nice day.
Yeah.
The interesting one, of course, then there was a news story on Next from 9 News.
Through Steve,
From
who owns the hashtag? Who owns, you know, and the cool part about, I don't own it. I mean, I could. Mm-hmm. And heck, I could file the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Did I ever want to or think I would have to spend money in order to protect the game that we play against something like this? Mm-hmm. No way. You know, so I think that was part of their conversation and why they never replied to it. Because I could, or heck, I could file the paperwork whenever I wanted to. And it doesn't mean I can keep people from using the hashtag. It means I can keep people from profiting from what I know too. And from what Steve told me, this happened with Rocktober in 2007. The fans all came up with Rocktober and it kind of built it up that way. The issue there is that they made merchandise and started to sell it. And the Rockies saw that and went, you can't do that. And then they shut the fans down. So
Were they doing it with the logo?
I don't know whether they're doing it with the logo or whether they took something that was, I guess, close. And I don't know whether that's a good question. I don't know whether the team thought that was. Yeah. I mean, there's probably a lot of things in there that the team could easily go after those fans and say, no, thank you.
Right.
We've never done anything like that. I mean, heck, I get emails every week in our email box from people who want to sponsor the show and you know, hey, you want to be partners with us. And
wait a minute, what?
I do. I get emails all the time.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Wait, I can get paid for this?
What?
why aren't you paying me?
Okay. What?
That's a whole nother, hold that thought for a second. But we have kept this sponsor free for that purpose.
What?
Time out. I'm not ready to move on yet.
My voice is getting higher and higher every time.
Until pretty soon I won't be able to hear it. But I mean, we have kept this show our own, along with the hashtag our own, on purpose because we like what we do. We do it as a hobby. We're not here to make money, obviously. Are we here to make money?
Apparently not. Apparently we're not here to make money.
It took us, you know, 7 or 8 years together to come to this realization, but.
Oh my God. We could have been eating free burritos this whole time.
Damn it. You know, I did think about that. What if the sponsor was different? Because the one thing I never obviously heard from the Avalanche before this happened, if I had heard from them and said, hey, we're going to sponsor the tweet and whatever, whatever, I think I might've been able to smooth it over with everybody and say, hey, we created something that they could profit off of. We probably don't want our team to go broke and whatever.
Oh, we're worried and, about, we're waiting, I know, hang on. I know. That's what we're worried about. a sponsored tweet could ruin the Avalanche. Oh my goodness.
I'm so sorry, folks. James is bothered right now.
Oh my God.
But what if it was
that was the thing, like, oh, hey man, if somebody can make some money off of it, good for them. It's like, well, that's not the point of everything in the world.
May have been able to do that. I might have been able to smooth it out, but I didn't. But what if it was like Chipotle? It's like, hey, Chipotle is sponsoring this tweet and we'll pick 5 random winners and you guys get free burritos. I would have been like, I want in on that.
Okay. Like if they're sponsoring the tweet, sure. If they're sponsoring Avs Twitter Psychic game,
that's different too.
You know, and that's what the thing was. That it was implied like Avs Twitter Psychic is brought to you by these people.
No, it's
and
not.
It's like, no, because you guys aren't doing the damn work.
That was one thing too, is I had people ask, well, why are they trying to take over the show? I never got the feel or take over the game. I never got the feel like they were trying to take over the game, but they were trying to benefit off of what we've created together.
Well, they're the big dog. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones
I'm not fighting around with them. Yeah. I'm not fighting. Yeah. I can't win that battle.
No. And we don't want to.
No,
that's the thing. We just want people like, and the other thing is like, we've all seen, you know, people go rogue on the social media who work for social media or companies in their social media department and things like that. We've seen that.
It's a bad look.
It is. And even the big dogs get it wrong, you know, and they got it wrong.
Yeah.
You never heard from them before. You never heard from them after. Nope. Heck, they've never acknowledged that we even exist, you know,
not for the podcast. I think it's a couple years ago, although they've also changed social media people as well. There's a lot of turnover in that. I've been doing this show for me being on the show 13 years. You and I have been together, I think, eight years though. 8 years, 9 years, right around in there.
Yeah.
Like that's half of some of the social media people's lives. Sometimes, you know, so there's a lot of turnover as well. And there's a lot of moving parts. Does that excuse what happened?
Oh, heck no.
Nah.
No. I mean, the nice thing was it wasn't one person just going, hey, you guys did this thing wrong. There were a lot of people and they were like, hey, this is for the fans.
That's cool.
You guys are, this is a fan thing. This is not your thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't be this way. And there were a few people who were like, well, I'm never going to play again. And I kind of had to talk you off the ledge a little bit also, but here's my thing. Mistakes happen. Yeah. They're not doing a good job of owning up to that mistake, but you know, we're moving on. Jay's moving on. The game's going on. Have a good time with it.
People want to play.
I think that sometimes we take things to the point where it's like, you know, this is now sullied and ruined. Mm-hmm. Guys, this isn't episodes 1 through 3 of Star Wars. We're fine. Okay.
Nice.
These aren't the prequels.
That was a good one.
Just enjoy the game. That's all. Okay.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's like, well, I mean, at times it kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to push back on the fans. Well, I guess I am a little bit, but not like, you know, oh, you guys are getting it wrong, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's almost like when people were saying to Michael Bay that, you know, his version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ruined their childhood. Hey, maybe your childhood wasn't great in the first place.
Wow.
I'm just saying, they made a mistake. Let's move on. We're having fun on the game again. Last night there was one person who won and they didn't even tweet themselves.
Nope. That was Emmy's family and people that are around that's what Ask Twitter Psychic is.
It was like a sub retweet.
It was awesome.
Kind of weird.
Like I loved it. I think that was the largest group of people that, I mean, why don't you just hang out with the whole party and just list everybody? Someone's going to win, but still, I don't know. What did
Mr. McFluffers, what did he think it was supposed to be?
I don't know. I have to go back and check, but It's been good for the game overall. I mean, and I didn't necessarily ask anybody to say anything to the Avalanche. I just clarified kind of word. I wanted them to know exactly what I knew, and that's it. And it all worked out pretty well. So I appreciate you and the other people that were encouraging me to keep going with the game.
Well, it's nice because you know that people actually care about it.
Yeah, even people who don't play. And there was a lot of support from people who have never played, but just appreciate the energy that it brings. So there's something to be said. And again, I've said it all along. It's not just me. Like, I can't do this on my own. I can't even do the podcast on my own. But
you could. You did.
It would suck. It wouldn't be anywhere near as good.
Yeah, because let me tell you.
Oh, no. He's got his coffee. Here we go. Or his tea.
I got awards. Let me tell you, we've got awards for this thing.
We got a whole wall full of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
is
I was?
Is that all the sponsors, the potential sponsors, and you've printed them out?
And all the money we could have made.
Yeah.
It's like your
serial killer wall.
Well, that's who pays for the AHP legal team, because the AHP legal team jumped right into action. Mm-hmm. And are they around? I just wanted to shake their hands.
Do you realize that Jimmy the Squirrel died of starvation because we don't have sponsorship money?
How you didn't tell you? Me this.
I wasn't going to.
Was Jimmy our legal representation? Is that an ode to him over here?
He was powered by AHP money.
Do you know how far that got him?
Nowhere.
I just wanted to come into the AHP headquarters and shake the legal team's hands and thank them for their support during this time.
Just stop.
Are they around?
All you're doing is creating things that I need to edit out of the show. Just stop it. Stop making work for me.
It's amazing.
What's
I love
wrong
it.
With you?
But overall, it really kind of re-energized the game in a really weird kind of crazy way. It re-energized the game, and everybody's support means a lot.
Just come back to the game. It's fun.
Let's play. It belongs to us.
It's fans.
Yeah.
We know it's fans. They know it's fans now.
I love how you said it. Powered by the fans. I came up with a bunch of other taglines with alliterations and stuff.
We just roasted them with hashtags.
Yeah. Take that. I'm not even going to make hashtags out of them. That's how important
it is.
That's how it's super.
I don't know, man. A hashtag just really drives it home.
Take that. I didn't think they were serious. They were using words and then they put them into a hashtag.
Ooh. Who knew?
Whew. They really leveled up. I wasn't ready for that. So yeah. Between raises and ticket prices, I know for season ticket holders, I think the least amount of money that was raised per seat in Pepsi Center as a whole was $250 for season tickets as a whole. Those were for the seats kind of up high. I can't imagine what the other renewal rates were that people have to pay more to get their season tickets. Between that, and you already brought up Comcast and Dish Network. Mm-hmm. And then between this, it's been kind of a long season when there's a lot more to be excited about as well, because the team's playing well. Yeah. But yeah, things aren't there's a lot of things that could be going a little bit better for this team right now.
It's
not on the ice.
When everybody has like a television and a broadcasting medium in their pocket, we all become a little more media savvy.
Yeah.
And we see the ability to do things like what we do, like this podcast, like podcasting these days now is much easier to do than when you and I first started doing it. Even then, it wasn't all that difficult. It wasn't like the very early days of internet radio and things like that, but we have all become in a way media producers as well as media consumers. And along with that has come this awareness of the business. And so much of hockey has been about the awareness of the business ever since the lockout.
Yeah.
You better be following the CBA, and you better be, you got to know what hockey related revenue is and all of these things. And so watching the business side of it, kind of dominate, how our experience has been this season has been really tough. The Comcast thing, and Dish Network thing is just, it's
last night was a pretty good,
ridiculous. The other night when the game was on NBCSN, and yet it was blacked out here because it was also on Altitude.
I felt so bad.
And I was like, great. I get to watch the game. And then Mecum Car Auto Auctions. Oh my God.
I felt bad because I assumed since NBC Sports Network picked it up, that's what it was going to be on. Yeah. And I had said that during the day. I usually try and get people excited. I'm like, hey, everyone, check it out. Most of us will be able to watch the game. I just try and stay out of the middle of all that action. But yeah, that was weird.
I'll tell you, here's what I would go to, like places like Sobo 151 and watch it more often if I drank. But since I don't drink and I'm not getting a bunch of beers, I'm just kind of sitting there. I'll have another ginger ale.
Yes, please.
I would like a root beer.
I'm driving
Yeah. I'm driving. Yeah, dude, we know you're driving. It's just you. It's just you and your box of Kleenex. That's it.
You're not supposed to see that. Just think of the main sponsor for last night's game at the Air Force Academy. Do you know who the main sponsor was?
No.
Navy Federal Credit Union. Like, it's just like, that's really, and even my wife's not a huge hockey fan or anything, but she noticed that too. She's like, that's odd. I was like, yeah, it kind of is, but yeah, the commercials and the money making, and it's hard not to become super sensitive to all that. And the Twitter psychic stuff was a pretty good example of that.
Yeah. And we're constantly inundated with, you know, are you fan enough and all of that? And yet the business side of it is so very, you know, it's making it more difficult in a way.
People are mad about their renewal prices. I don't blame them.
$250 more a season.
I would say that's the least that they went up, obviously, because those are like upper corners. I'm saying the lower you are, I bet you the higher that price went up. Plus you need to, the ticket structure is this way. You have to pay for all of the playoffs in order to renew for next year. And people who opted out of that kind of have lost their season tickets or something like that. Like I know Steve has asked about it. He has asked to, you know, does the TV contract issues and the lost revenue from that have anything to do with this? And they're like, no, it's two separate things. It's like, but is it though? But I mean, yeah, you have to pay for, in order to renew for next year and have your seats for next year, you have to pay for the playoffs. And then whatever playoff games aren't used, if they're lucky enough to make the playoffs, which we all hope, they just roll that into next year. So they have their money. And it's just like, when the money kind of gets in the way of everything, which in a way it has to at some point, but it's got to feel better than that. And it's been kind of a long year for them off the ice.
They're talking now about, it's in talks, building a new arena out in Fort Collins for the Eagles and tearing down the Budweiser Event Center and basically adding, like, I think it's like close to 3,000 more seats.
Yeah.
Something like that. So there was a question on Reddit the other day, you know, like, what is the thing that used to be good and has been ruined? And I put in hockey because hockey used to be, it used to kind of be a sport of nerds in a way, like the fans, there used to be like the hardcore, and in all those places where there's been teams for years and the original six and stuff, you know, it was a straight up legit sport. But for a lot of places, like, they would get like new teams, things like that, it kind of was the sport that nerds turned to.
Yeah.
You know, the people who didn't like, didn't care about football or baseball, gravitated towards hockey, and it was fun. It was niche. And that has gone away because of all the money, because it's been so business driven. And the, like, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, has gotten all this praise for building the sport as far as money is concerned, but has it made it more fun? And I'm going to say no. Yeah. Like, no more participation in the Olympics. Everything has been corporatized to the point where, you know, the outdoor games have become all about corporate sponsorships. Mm-hmm. The All-Star Game has always been about corporate sponsorships, but the degree it is now is just kind of ridiculous. It's just so,
it's tough. I think when you and I purposefully stay away from that stuff and then we get impacted by it anyway, it's just like, it's discouraging.
It is.
And yeah, it's hard to argue with any of that. The parity is a whole nother thing. Just the way the divisions are made, overtime stuff and things like that, where every game matters. He said this last night to Lauren Gardner, you know, every game matters and you know, we're proud of that and everything, but it's also, I mean, I get it, but I mean, if you're the Red Wings, if you're the Kings and things like that, I mean, if you haven't played well, you shouldn't still be in the action. I mean, that's, you've earned that or not earned that, however you want to look at it. But even the parody, it plays into that and it makes it more sellable. It makes it more so you can get more sponsorships and more money. And yeah, it gets ugly quick.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good at all.
I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, look at where your salaries have gone.
Yeah.
You know, they have to do things. They don't have to do every single thing.
Yeah. And the fans made that super clear. Yeah.
The old days of Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. They didn't overcharge to the point where, like, you had to take out a loan to go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Walt Disney wanted was leave enough money in your pocket to come back the second time. And these days it's not that way.
Nope.
And so many things aren't. It's, you know, it's the overpriced experience. It's all of those things. And the NHL has gone that way too.
Yeah, pricing it just enough to where you make the most that you can while just riding that edge instead of knowing you can make more. But
yeah, like ticket sales have always been tickets for anything is a market driven thing. It's what will the market bear?
They're playing better, so we're going to charge more.
Right.
Yeah.
But
supply and demand.
Everything has gone up to the point where, you know, we just can't really afford it. Like I got that. There's no way in heck I'm going to get a player jersey these days that is anybody's kind of name that's been around for that long.
Because they won't be there.
Because you can't afford it.
Yep. They won't be there anyway. Yeah. It makes me think this is for another show, another podcast. I'm going to bother you again, but like Chick-fil-A being closed on Sundays. I think there's some people that gravitate towards that and be like, you know, they could make millions, billions more by being open on Sundays, but because they want to stick to their values and the values are what they are. I know. But there's something to be said for that.
They made a choice and they're happy to pay the financial consequences of that choice.
To keep their people happy there's a lot to that. Costco is the same way. Costco does that same thing. They treat their people great. They pay them well. They don't charge, you know, they get their money up front from the members, which is fine. They keep the prices low. They try and get them. If I've heard their CEO talk, if it's $10, we're pushing on them. Why not $9 then? You know, they get that as low as they can. They pay their people well. They're closed on most holidays. And I don't know.
Southwest Airlines.
Same.
The big thing about Southwest Airlines is that I know, God, we've gotten off topic a bit. The big thing about Southwest Airlines is that the customer doesn't come first, their employees do.
Yep.
And because their employees come first, their employees treat their customers really well. And that is that's a conscious choice that they've made. It's not that, you know, well, you're the customer, so you look at what the customer is always right has turned into.
Complicated. Thanks, Karen. Jesus. I talk to your manager? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
like people screaming, the customer is always right. And you know what? I'm a hockey fan. I make my choices as, you know, I haven't been to many games. I can't afford them and I can't afford going to the same fan experience over and over and over like that.
I agree.
It was one of the upsides of when I was on the road and I would go to hockey games all over the country. Yep. And see it in so many different places.
Yeah, you can get a lot of
all these different experiences,
a lot of context.
Yeah. And it was fun. And a lot of the times, you know, the minors a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Now the minors are, you know, getting more expensive and more expensive. And you're just like, come on.
Through this, I heard from people we used to sit near for years and I miss that. Like, like it's not about the people as much as it used to be. I mean, the what I've realized through it all is my dad and I, when we go to games, you'd see people, you'd know, and you'd talk hockey with them. You talk life with them over and over. It's become so expensive that you don't have the same people around you over and over and you don't form those bonds.
Right.
And when the fan experience is pretty much the same year after year, it's kind of like a broken record.
A lot of the fan experience I think has gone online as well.
True.
I mean, like the Twitter, apps for a psychic, things like that. It's not the same.
No.
You know, a lot of the people that I knew through hockey, I don't see much anymore because I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, so in a way, you know, I don't exist that much for them. Yeah. And that's a choice that I made of not being there. But, you know, because so much of it has gone that direction, it's
why
and
go.
I'll tell you the other thing we were talking about before, traffic in this town is so difficult. I don't want to drive anywhere to go see a game with people. It's like, oh my goodness.
No, thank you.
This is going to take forever to get there.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. I go back and forth on Twitter. I don't know. I think without Twitter, you and I don't meet, so we don't have this, but
there's a lot of upside. I mean, yeah. My thing was I was having a hard time with the downside.
Yeah.
I got tired of feeling angry and having people angry at me for just an opinion about something that didn't really matter. After a while, it kind of was like, enough. I just don't want to do this anymore.
That's where I like Twitter Psychic. I mean, I've had a few people throughout the years. I talked about it on the last show too. People trolling me because they didn't think Mikko Rantanen was going to score. But for the most part, there's nothing to complain about. And it's just this rare thing that we've created together.
What are they trolling? Like, how would you think that he would score first?
It was something like that. Like and this was before he had his hat trick and he had four goals in two games. And it's just like, why? Why? Like, I don't need to have a reason to think that he's going to score first. So don't. It was a couple people.
Because I did the math and I crunched the numbers. And this yeah, makes right. real, this obviously was a very calculated decision.
Yeah. Sometimes I talk into my phone and just ask it to give me a number between 6 and 96. And then that's the person I choose. And,
really?
And, yeah. I figured if that's what my gut tells me to do, that's what I do.
Poor Tyson Barry.
So I don't know. It's just this thing where it's you got to work pretty hard. And you got to make yourself look a certain way if you're going to troll somebody for it. Mm. Yeah, it was interesting because one guy chimed in and then another guy, because that guy shared his opinion, was like, yeah, he's right. You know, he's not going to score like ever again. It's like, whatever. Like, I don't know. But for 99.9% of the time, there's nothing to troll. Like, let's celebrate that the Avs scored a goal.
The things that people waste their typing minutes on. It's just amazing to me. Sometimes. Yeah, sure.
And get off our lawn while you're in it.
Yeah, you know, I don't even have a lawn. I still want people to get off of it.
If I had one,
Shea Tape Leg is a 2-bedroom apartment. I mean, you know, come on.
Well, there is. Well, you got your tree downstairs.
I do. We have a tree.
Stop looking at my tree.
One of the fun parts about when Jay comes here, in the lobby, sometimes people leave free stuff out for other people.
This
boggles Jay's mind because apparently Jay never lived in an apartment.
No.
Did you ever live in an apartment?
Just a condo for me. Yeah.
Really?
Condo. Yeah. I never lived in an apartment.
Okay. Did your condo have a
lobby? No.
No.
So this is a brand new experience for me. I love it.
You never had a common lobby.
No.
Seriously.
I feel like I missed out on life. I'm making up for it now, though.
So people will leave free stuff out. Yeah. And sometimes the free stuff is like, you know.
A bra.
I was getting to that.
Damn it. But, sorry. I'll stop interrupting. Keep going.
And today was a fake tree with foam in the base, but it didn't have a pot. And Jay's like, well, where's the pot? And I'm like, oh, my God. Shut it. But the bra, I think, was the best. Like when you need a stick to push the clothes around to see if there's anything worth having.
That's how you know it's awesome.
There's been food. There's been printer. Like canned foods. There was a printer.
There's a printer.
Yeah.
I'm sure it worked.
Probably.
We didn't bring it up to plug it in to check.
I replaced my water filter thingy and I was thinking about leaving it down there. I was like, no, Jay wouldn't.
Someone else can use this. I love it. You never know what you're going to get.
It's a community.
It takes
a community.
I'm not complaining. Do I look like I'm not entertained?
You look entertained.
The tree. Come on.
Trolls feel entertained. You.
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Okay. I think we're good, man. Hey, will you tell the good people out there where to find us on the internet?
After this show, I don't even know why they'd come back.
Let's pretend like they are.
There's nobody. I don't have to. Nobody's listening at this point. They're like they 15 are. Minutes ago. Oh, James, shut up.
No way. No way.
I want to actually.
They wouldn't miss the hijinks.
Hey, I have a question for the people out there, because I was thinking about this with the whole absurd psychic thing. Mostly because I wanted to, you know, I had a few things to, yeah, obviously I had a few things to say.
Yeah.
And you had a few things to say. I feel like our voices are generally are distinctive enough from each other, but I'm never quite sure. So I'm curious with the fans, do you guys ever have a problem telling Jay and I apart when I haven't gone, well, Jay, you know, and done like the public radio reset kind of thing?
Yeah, without the sponsors, it's hard to do that. Just out of, hey, this is AHP 124. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. It's James over there. I'm Jay.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Well, yeah, we don't do that.
It's a radio thing.
Yeah.
They reset coming out.
Is that what it's called? A reset?
It's a reset.
Yeah.
And also because people on radio, you might tune in the middle of whatever they're saying or whatever, like NPR, you're partway through the conversation. Yeah. So
we're so presumptuous.
But podcast.
It's James, of course.
You start podcasts from the beginning and you rarely ever, you know, you don't start them in the middle.
Take a break.
No. Well, you may take a break.
We could try that.
What, the reset?
No, we could try starting in the middle.
But yes, that's called the
reset.
Things that you need to know. That's called the reset. Nobody rewinds anymore.
There we go.
It's been a while.
Just there we go. That's right. You guys want to grind James's gears? Talk to him about rewinding. Oh, don't. See, I just pissed him off. It's amazing.
How dare you? you can most always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, unless the server's down, which is almost never down.
No.
Because, geez, come on, people.
It's up all the time.
And you can always play Avs Twitter Psychic because Jay ain't quitting.
Nope.
Online Twitter, hashtag Avs Twitter Psychic, powered by no one.
peeps.
You can go and you can go to the site and subscribe. You can find all kinds of things and links to things, including a little thing that Jay wrote about Abstour Psychic.
Yeah. Just wanted to clarify.
And Jay is on Facebook at Abs Podcast, on Twitter at Abs Podcast, on Instagram at Abs Podcast, on TikTok. No, not on TikTok.
I can't find a way. My sister keeps trying to talk me into it. I have no idea how I'd use TikTok.
You know what you need? You need another social media platform.
Yeah, I think that's enough. Yeah, that's totally.
So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything else?
I know, that's it.
That's it.
I think that's enough, don't you think? Yeah, that's probably one or two too many anyway.
You can find me on Twitter, but I wouldn't bother. Tape Leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to hit him up, let me know and I'll text him.
I'm not going to tell you my Reddit. It's just not.
It's a secret.
It's mine.
Yep. Don't touch it.
Just has goofy writing on it.
Yep.
That's about it. Yeah. Jay, shout outs.
Shout outs. I want to, I've already said it, but I want to thank everybody. James, Jarrell, Hirsch, Scott Pantall.
Scott.
Scott's our buddy. Mm-hmm. Just want to thank everybody for the support. Like I said, I didn't mean to stir anything up. And when I wrote what I did, I just wanted to clarify things, but man, it was cool to kind of reinvigorate a mm-hmm. cool thing. And thanks for reminding me what it's all about.
So, Jeff Ponder.
Appreciate it. Jeff Ponder, Christmas Ellie from the Locked On Avalanche podcast, talked about it in his show for a little bit and had our back with it. So just want to thank everybody for the support and, mm-hmm. We're grateful for you. We're not us without you. That's pretty much it. And also Sir Lucy at Lux on Twitter. Talked to him on Twitter DMs and just kind of connected. I connect with a lot of people on Twitter DMs lately, but he wants us to do a Jersey show during the summer sometime.
Oh, okay.
I think we can do that.
We've talked about it before and I don't think we actually got it.
We have. I don't know how much of an agenda we'll need, but we can just talk jerseys for a while and just talk about history and all kinds of things. Cause I think there's plenty to talk about. Especially,
I have no opinions about jerseys.
No, not at all.
Bring back the 30. Bring back the burgundy third.
Hello, let's do this.
Hashtag bring back.
Oh, you made a hashtag?
Just now. Is that how they work? I say hashtag in front of something and it's a hashtag?
You better trademark it though. Someone will steal it. Try and monetize it. No comment. The legal team is telling you not to comment on that.
I'm just getting this in my ear. Hang on. Yeah, they say no.
This is just in. They said don't comment. So I'm not going to comment on the comment.
Also, I was lying about Jimmy the Squirrel. He's still alive.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's embedded deep, deep, deep undercover.
Yes. Especially with the weather it's been here. Mm-hmm. It's been yucky.
No, it's good. We sent him out on reporting, during the winter because he gets his nice thick coat.
Mm.
So he looks a little different.
Nice.
Easier to go undercover.
What is he doing though?
I can't tell you.
The legal team told you not to comment on that either.
Undercover telling would be telling and that could jeopardize the mission.
That's
if it is a mission.
Oh,
if he is a squirrel.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
The plot thickens.
I'm just saying.
All right. Here.
Oh, sorry.
I have an iPad to touch.
Yep.
And a fist to
bump.
Touch my phone.
I'll you touch can your
if
phone.
You want to.
Do you want to touch my phone?
Sure. New phone.
Boom.
The fancy case.
Yep.
Any last words? Last thoughts from James Tape Leg Grailian.
Let's, no, I don't have any last thoughts. Darn it.
Keep it rolling.
Let's keep going. Let's just keep going. Let's watch them every time we can. Let's have a good time.
That sounds like a fair request there.
It's not as easy as it sounds these days.
this is very, wow.
Just saying.
Those are wise words.
Just saying.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. And hey, be good to each other. Come on, fans. We're still all fans. We have a good time. Just be good to each other.
We can do that. We got the platforms to do that.
I just wanted to jump in there with a little bit of saving the universe there.
I like it. No.
Thanks.
Mission accomplished.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for downloading the show. We appreciate your support. And for James Tape Leg Grailian, I'm Jay Veen. Take care. Go Avs go. We'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. You got to do the bad air guitar like the guy last night.
Oh, I can't do it that bad.
can't even try.
Oh, that air guitar was terrible. That was the worst.
You're not even trying, dude.
He was trying so hard, and God, when the camera's like, it's moving in, and the guy kind of poses for the camera, and the guitar string, you know, and the note goes, and the guy doesn't move.
He's not even wing. He's not even wing at all.
And like, I'm one to talk about a haircut, but my God.